All right. Sure appreciate all of the ministries here at Berean Baptist Church. We've been blessed by our music ministry, but also we have many others. Our nursery ministry, praise the Lord for our nursery workers, children's church workers, Sunday school teachers, our frontline clubs, our security team, our deacons that faithfully serve. So many of you that serve in so many ways. So many of our people that host meals for funerals and serve one another. And I'm so grateful for all of you who serve the Lord in or through the ministries here at Berean Baptist Church. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Ephesians chapter 4 as we continue our series set in the course for meaningful ministry. We are transitioning from our first word, loving, now to growing. And so this really is going to be an overview. So before we get into our passage, I'm just going to kind of outline for you, and I don't have this up on the screen for you. My computer died on Thursday, but praise the Lord for people who have such talents and abilities, like Troy Thompson, who is getting my laptop is as soon as office and downloads and all of that, it'll be set, and I'll have all my stuff back. But I wasn't able to print off stuff and send emails and all of that, especially with the conference this week. But I just want to read for you a little bit of my outline as far as why is growing one of the things that we're looking at. What does that mean? Okay? We are a church that is loving and then a church that is growing. So I want to kind of highlight some things. I may not be able to cover all of these things in the next couple of weeks, a few weeks, because we still have going, and I want to get to that, especially before we start our week of revival meetings. So as we look at the timing of these things, I want to look at first as a believer. At Berean Baptist Church, we seek to promote the spiritual growth of every individual believer. Yes, we're also going to talk about promoting spiritual growth as a church body, but as a believer, growing, and specifically breaking it down into these two categories. First of all, growing in capacity. Capacity is how much you can hold. One of my prayers that I ask the Lord for all the time is, God, increase my capacity for understanding your word, for being able to process it, for being able to have the wisdom to apply it, to be able to minister it to others. Lord, increase my capacity for the compassion of Christ so that you can fill me with more of the love of Christ, show me more of the reality of the love of Christ so that it will overflow out of the abundance of the full capacity of great volume of compassion and love of Christ into the lives not only of those at Berean Baptist Church and brothers and sisters in Christ, but also those who are yet unbelievers. And even as we looked at last week in our evening message, our enemies. But growing in our capacity personally, how? Well, in our knowledge of the scriptures. I'm praying that God would help you to increase in your knowledge of the scriptures. For a brand new believer, that might mean learning how to navigate through the scriptures from all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament. It might be just getting down some of the basic concepts of Christianity. A new believer, especially one who's not grown up in a Christian home, there are new things for them to learn. And so increasing in the knowledge of the scriptures. And then second, growing in our capacity and our wisdom in the application of the truths of the scriptures. So we ought to have that knowledge, but we also need to grow in wisdom. I believe that I can delineate it this way, that wisdom is the ability to practically apply the truths of Scripture in daily living, okay? There are people who are really smart, but don't have a lot of walking around common sense. You know what I mean? Okay? And there are a lot of people who know a lot about the Word of God, but when you begin to observe their lives, you're saying, all right, where is the disconnect between what they know and what they live? Okay? And so shouldn't a person who knows these things also have the wisdom to be able to live them out? And so increasing in or growing in the capacity for more of God's wisdom. Matter of fact, in James chapter 1, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally or generously. So let's ask God to generously increase our capacity and give us more wisdom so that we can walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time. So that we can be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. So that we can have wisdom and discernment in how we minister to one another's needs as well as in promoting the gospel. We need that practical spiritual walking around sense to live a life pleasing to God and to serve God and others. And then understanding, increasing in our capacity of understanding God's will. God's will we find in the scriptures. For instance, the Bible says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. God wants us to grow in personal holiness. And then he also there gives another specific. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. Pornea. All right? And so there are many applications that are very specific there, but then there are also general principles and discerning what is God's general will. I know there are things in God's word that is God's will for all Christians, but what about growing in my understanding of God's personal will for my life? In Romans 8, 28 and 29, for instance, the Bible says, for we know that all things, what? Work together for good to who? Them that love God. Remember the first and great commandment is to what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Right? So we're walking in obedience to that. We're pursuing that. And we know that all these things that God is allowing in our lives are working together for our good because we be called to his purpose. What is his purpose? Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, that is those who are saved, them he did predestinate to what? Be conformed to the image of his son. So God, how are the circumstances and the experiences and the things that I am learning pressing me and forming me and shaping me into the mold of the character and likeness of Jesus Christ? Because all these things I understand are God's will, and it's not that I just take some sort of general shrug my shoulders, oh, well, I guess that's God's will approach to life. Or, well, God's will is going to be done, and so I abdicate any responsibility and any choices I make and just kind of say, well, God's will is going to be God's will, whatever it is, and I can just do whatever I want. No, that's not Bible. If that were true, then why would God give us such a volume, a huge capacity here of Bible truth and commands? Because God wants to give us truth. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants us then, by the power and strength of his grace, to apply and obey and act and live out that truth as we are being conformed and transformed in our character into the likeness of Christ, and so that we can delight in accomplishing God's will. So increasing my understanding of God's will, and then increasing my understanding of God's gifts to me. I understand that Brother Lake has been in the auditorium Sunday school class going through the spiritual gifts. I don't know, Brother Bill, if you're still doing that or if you've moved on to something else, but for those of you that haven't heard that, it's probably, is it recorded, Brother Mitch, anywhere? Is that Sunday school recorded at all? No? Okay, you'll just have to come to the class, or we may explore that on a Sunday night series later on. But if you say, hey, I've been saved, but I'm really not sure what my spiritual gifts are, I would love to sit down and explore that with you so that you can understand what giftings and abilities that God has given you spiritually so that you can be fulfilled in the ministry that God has for you. God has not only given you spiritual gifts, he's given you talents, he's given you abilities, he's given you experiences and background and perspective and resources and relationships. All of these things together are tools that you use to serve God. You don't just build a house with a hammer and a box of nails and a few boards. Right, Brother Travis? It takes a whole lot more than that. I mean, you got to have squares, levels, and all kinds of stuff. It takes all kinds of different tools in order to build a house. And you know what? We are to be building up our spiritual house, are we not? Brother, my foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So understanding God's gift and God's tools for me to serve him and to build a life well-pleasing to him. Why? Because I and you, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, we are the temple of the living God. And we are to facilitate and we are to promote and we are to be actively engaged in worshiping God for his glory. And then growing in my capacity of experience and excellence of service to God. None of us ought to be satisfied that we are doing well enough in our ministry. I want to increase, and I ask the Lord all the time, I say, Lord, give me the knowledge of a scholar in the scriptures. Give me the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and of Christ to be able, Lord, increase my capacity to understand the scriptures on a deeper level. And give me the wisdom to be able to then, as I preach it, apply it. I don't want to just pry, just practical preaching that doesn't have great depth. Nor do I just want to preach great depth and impress you with the intelligence and the brilliance that I really don't possess anyway. But I'm asking God to increase my capacity in my understanding of the scriptures and in my ability to convey it and to help you to be able to understand these rich truths of scripture And as you continue to explore those rich truths and meditate on them, I can help steer you in the right direction on your journey of building your experience in serving God and becoming more excellent in your service to God. We ought to, and just by this, just a byline, I need to understand also my limitations. Part of my gifting is that I have certain limitations. I can't do everything well. There are certain things I'm not gifted toward. Now, it's not an excuse when it comes to spiritual things, because God is in the process of growing me in all areas of my spiritual life. But I'm saying that you and I each are custom tools in God's arsenal for ministry. And each one of us needs to understand also what our limitations are, what our strengths are, and we need to be trying by God's grace to improve the whole spectrum, to shore up our weaknesses and to take the best advantage of the strengths and giftings that God has given us. But there also needs to be within there a certain level of content. In other words, I may not be able to do this. I need to be content. That's okay. God's gifted other brothers and sisters in Christ. They're that part of the body. And I will encourage them and pray for them and support them. And I will be faithful over here where God has strengthened and gifted me. And how I can assist them in my limited capacity, I will be glad to. But you know what? I am content with the limitations that God has given me, with the opportunities that God has given me, with my sphere of influence that God has given me. But I never should be content that I have done enough or done it well enough in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that is one of the things in growing, that we are growing in our capacity to understand and experience these things. And then second of all, talking about personal growth here, being promoted through Berean Baptist Church, growing in spiritual maturity. That is growing closer to Christ. That is why there are times when we will have revival meetings. Those times where we come together for focused concentration systematically on the Word of God. If you study Nehemiah, we've been doing that in our college Sunday school class consistently. The people of Judah that were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and as they were coming back from exile from Persia and Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem and Judea and be strengthened again, there was a consistent searching and reading of and an understanding of the scriptures made plain by the Levites and the scribes, and they kept searching the scriptures. And anytime as a people that they saw something in God's word that they were not doing, they started doing it. And if there are things they were doing that they shouldn't, then they stopped. But the point is, they kept continually searching the scriptures so that they could live a life of obedience to God. And so we need to have the same desire to grow closer to Christ, to walk with him in fellowship. So what breaks fellowship with Christ for the believer? What breaks fellowship with Christ? Sin. And so that's where I need to be sensitive in my spirit to the teaching and convicting of the Holy Spirit. By the way, conviction is not an emotion that I feel. Conviction is evidence laid out by the Holy Spirit of my guilt. A murderer, when convicted by a jury based on solid evidence, and he is convicted of murder and sentenced, doesn't matter what he feels. I don't feel like I was that bad of a person. I only murdered 3 people. I mean, there's some people who murdered 27 people, you know. I don't feel that bad about it, you know. It doesn't matter if he feels anything or nothing. The evidence has been laid out. His feelings don't change the fact that he's been convicted of murder and he has been sentenced to whatever the sentence will be, whatever the punishment. And so we need to be growing, though, closer to Christ and walking sensitive to the conviction and the teaching of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I love Psalm 16:11. You'll hear me quote it all the time. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What does James challenge the believers in James? He says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That is a promise and it's a command. Draw nigh to God. Draw closer to him. And the promise is that he will draw closer to you. God does not play this game with us where he sits in a fog bank. And we take a step closer to him. And as we take a step closer to him, he teases us. And just about when we touch the edge of the fog, he just kind of moves off a little bit, you know? And as we try to learn more specifically about him and have that personal relationship with him, that then he just kind of keeps things nebulous. No, the Bible promises, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. But you've got to be walking in fellowship with him to draw closer to him. And if you do draw closer to him, then you will be like him. A person who says, I am close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and their life is one of rebellion and disobedience and worldliness. You know what the theological term for that person is? A hypocrite. And you know what that philosophy is? It's a bunch of hogwash. Well, I'm growing in my spiritual life. Man, I've been reading my Bible, and I've been praying, and I've just been growing spiritually, and their life evidences the world and screams out the world. They are not walking close with Christ. And by the way, just reading your Bible and praying does not guarantee you're going to be more spiritually mature. I will not mention the name of this former pastor or where he pastored. But from his own lips, I have heard this admission that he was in an adulterous relationship as a pastor. And driving to meet the woman with whom he was having this affair, if you want to call it an affair, he was quoting scripture. But just by quoting scripture, it's not some sort of magical incantation that changes anything. Amen. He should have practiced what he was quoting. Amen. See? And if he would have started all the way back with flee fornication, knowing, hey, this is the will of God, keep thyself pure, flee also youthful lusts, then he wouldn't have gotten in that position in the first place, would he? But what happened? Though he was having an effective ministry, he was in sin. He was not walking close with God. He was not growing in his spiritual life. And by the way, and God forbid that this should happen at Berean Baptist Church, but God can work and circumvent around a person and still accomplish his work. God can still use a man to preach truth, and God's not blessing the man. God's blessing the truth that's being proclaimed by that man. But that man will still be held in account by God. And no matter if he has a church of thousands and a budget of millions, and they support 350 missionaries, that does not in any way mean that that man is drawn any closer to Christ just because he has some outward, quote-unquote, success. And I haven't even got to my text yet, and I'm preaching through this, and this is just supposed to be an overview. Sorry, folks, just the way it's going. All right, growing closer to Christ, growing closer to Christians. That's why we love having fellowship here at Berean Baptist Church. Fellowships like the unmarried class, they had a potluck lunch. They just brought a bunch of different soups and stuff that they made in crock pots and brought it and just had it. Because it's not so much about the food, it's about the fellowship. The food was good. I got to go back and sample some of it. It was very good. But you know what? It's not about the food, although we're hungry. And so that facilitates fellowship because we're not distracted by growling stomachs. But it's not about the food, it's about the fellowship. It's about getting together. It's about, like when I went up to the hospital this afternoon to pray with Jim and Marty, and in the waiting area, there were a number of people from Berean that were up there supporting, fellowshipping with one another, and praying for the family. See? Growing closer to one another. And that means inviting each other over to our homes or out for coffee or out for a meal sometimes. And that means sharing cell phone numbers and texting one another and being transparent and enough to admit when you need someone to pray for you, when you're struggling with something, and you have developed some friendships within the community of believers here at Berean Baptist Church that you can ask for prayer or say, hey, listen, I need a passage of scripture. I have this decision. What are some biblical principles? Can you help me with that? And we grow closer to one another, and we help one another, and we support one another. And that's coming under also some of my goals here as a church body. And these, you'll see why all these things fit together as we look in Ephesians chapter 4 in just a few minutes. Growing also in our compassion for unbelievers. Often the Bible says of Christ, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. I wonder how much we are moved with compassion. We heard the Kokinzie's testimony of salvation and baptism with the deacons tonight. This next Sunday, Lord willing, unless the rapture happens between now and then, we'll present them for church membership. But it was wonderful, according to Brother John's testimony, how there was a man at the printing shop where he was working who really warmed up to him, who showed him kind of knew, Brother John's own words said, he knew me and he still warmed up to me, you know, and showed me true, genuine kindness and love, and then, you know, invited us to church, and it was through the kindness, the genuine compassion of Christ. And I thought, yeah, it reminded me, you know what, it's amazing when we truly allow, grow in our capacity and grow personally in our compassion for unbelievers. How that loving care and concern, that practical serving, that opens up somebody's heart to share with them the truth, how God can use that to soften them to the gospel, to where they will listen to the truth of the gospel, admit their need, and come to Christ. And the Kukenzies are living proof of that. And many of you are as well. Why is it then that we are not more tender and move with compassion for unbelievers? We need to grow in that. We need to grow in our trust of God. Some of you faced things in 2019 that you never thought you would face. And some of you went and faced and wondered how in the world you were going to get through it. But the God of all grace. That's how. But growing in our trust of God. Growing in our submission to God. And sometimes that is saying, it's not saying to God, God, I don't deserve this. And why is this happening? But instead, Lord, your way is perfect. You make no mistakes. Lord, use me through this. Transform me through this. And may this come out for your eternal glory. The Lord, as the Lord reveals sometimes through trials. See, you know when the impurities in a precious metal come to the surface? When are the impurities revealed? When the heat's put under it. When the heat's put under it, the impurities come to the surface. And then they're skimmed off with a ladle or some other instrument, and the gold is refined a little bit more. And so this year, when you're under that pressure and the real you pops out, let's ask God to skim off the fleshliness. And may we walk more fully in the Spirit, more fully controlled by the Holy Spirit, growing in our submission to God. And then I kind of lump these together, growing in holiness, humility, and honor. And I'm going to save that for later, but growing in humility. The Bible says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. The Bible says, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And Jesus said, the proud will be abased, but the humble shall be exalted. Growing in true biblical humility, in holiness. We're commanded to be holy as God is holy. And while we will not in this life achieve that, we are to be pursuing it. You say, why? Because God commanded us to. We're to be growing in holiness. Peter says, in every facet of our existence. And then as a church body, just some brief goals. Growing in our reach within our community. Talking about our gospel reach into the community. By serving our community, maybe by hosting events and other things. I've got a lot of ideas. I don't want to take the time to share all those ideas now. That will come more under going. But reaching more into our community purposely as a church, as Sunday school classes, as care groups, as families, and as individual believers being salt and light for the sake of the gospel. Growing also in our ability to facilitate more ministry. Whether that is having classes here about how to be a Sunday school teacher. Some of the things that God has laid on my heart that I will begin to share with the deacons about how I want to invest more in the deacons and in their capacity and their maturity and growth in their ministry in that role of being deacon. In other things like new believers classes and things like that. And again, I don't want to get too far into the practical applications of these things, but just to give you a little sample that we would grow in our ability to facilitate more ministry. We facilitated a couple of conferences last year. There's going to be a couple that we're going to facilitate next year, and that's a way that we can be a blessing to other ministries as well. Something that will come up very soon is that there is a church in our area that we're going to, by God's grace, talk to the pastoral staff and the deacons. But my inclination towards this, I'm going to seek their counsel first, is for our church, and we've done this in the past, is to loan some of our families to this church to help them strengthen their ministry. And then as their ministry grows, whether God would have you to continue to attend and serve in that church or come back to Berean would be for the Lord to show you at that time. but to invest in another church so that we are facilitating more ministry. When we plant churches in the future, as God allows us to, we are multiplying our capacity for ministry. Growing closer as a church family, growing in missions. Love to see us to be able to give more and do more and serve more and encourage more and have missions even more on the forefront of our attention as a church body. And they've got some plans for that as well. And then growing in a discipleship culture. One of the things Will Galkin is going to do is when he comes, and I shared that this morning, there's going to be two main things that I want him to address. One is sharing Christ in a postmodern culture, okay, to really equip us and motivate us to share the gospel in our culture. By the way, folks, God is still saving souls. And God can still use us to see souls saved. We don't manipulate. We can't do the work. We're just the messenger. But if we are willing, God will use us. And I think there is nothing in my life that ever brought me greater delight than to witness somebody trust Christ as their Savior, or just simply took the Word of God or shared my testimony, to see God work that conviction in their life. Usually somebody else had already plowed the field and watered, and they were ripe to harvest, and God just brought them across my path. There's nothing more fulfilling or joyous that I've ever experienced than seeing somebody trust Christ, and I'm right there. And some of you, I've seen Christ save you. And it is so exciting now also to see you grow in Christ. But then, it is not just that we want to reach people with the gospel. Now we want to develop a discipleship culture. And so I'm going to have Brother Will also talk about developing a culture of discipleship within the church. Some of this has already started in the ladies' ministry. I'm going to kick off something at the men's retreat this year. But we are going to purposefully be heading towards developing a discipleship culture within our church so that it's not just new believers that need to be discipled. All of us need to be discipled. All right? And all of us need to be discipling somebody. Okay? And so we're going to talk more about that. Now, let's get down to the scripture here for a few minutes. I want to explain a few things and show you a little application here. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave some. This is God. God gave as a gift to the local church, and God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. By the way, that is all one thing. That is one chain thought. It is not divided up. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That again is one thought. Unto a perfect man. That's part of that first thought. Unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. So really that whole verse is one thought as well. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want to come back and I want to revisit this passage maybe next Sunday night in more detail. But let me give you the gist here of what we're looking at when we're talking about growing. You see both here. You see the growth of the church and the individuals within the church and how this works together, okay? There is a synergy here in this passage. He gave some apostles. We know that there are not apostles today, but he gave them to the church. And aren't you thankful because some of the apostles wrote the scriptures that we have? They helped lay the foundation of the early church. And prophets. Prophets in the Old Testament sense of those who proclaimed God's truth to the people and foretold what would happen. Even prophets in the sense of those who preach the word of God and foretell the future according to what the scriptures foretell. And then evangelists. And then pastors and teachers, which is one office. But look at this in verse 11. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So here's this whole chain thing, okay? It is that as a pastoral staff and as pastor here at Berean Baptist Church, my mission for the church is to help mature each individual believer, okay? Because it talks about perfecting of the saints. It means to come to full maturity. Okay? The idea of coming from an infant through childhood to the teenage years to now an adult. There is a progression of maturity. Okay? And we see this reiterated again. But for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, maturing you not only that you know how to behave in the house of God and behave before God, but coming to maturity in your skills. I would not take a 5-year-old out in the woods and teach him how to use a chainsaw. He does not have the strength, the capacity, all right, or probably the maturity and discernment to use a chainsaw yet. Okay? I'd wait till they were at least 9 or 10. Well, why do you laugh? Because they're probably still not ready, right? Okay? And some are, but that'd probably be the exception. Okay? So, but the idea is that with our children, we should be helping them to develop skills and understanding and discernment so that they are able to increase in their capacity to be able to do more and more work. And so it is the pastor's responsibility to help to, through the preaching and ministry of the Word of God, through counseling and through personal investment, to help each believer to mature and to be more fully equipped in that maturity to do the work of the ministry. So that it's not the pastor that's supposed to do all the work of the ministry at Berean Baptist Church. It is all believers together, all of us, me included. I don't just say, this is what y'all need to do. Now, I've matured, helped you to mature so you can do the work of the ministry, and so I don't need to do anything. No, I am rolling up my sleeves and sweating alongside you doing the work of the ministry together. Okay? But the pastor and teacher and the evangelist are given to the church body to help mature the church body to do the work of the ministry so that the body, the entire body, is edified. It's built up. It's strengthened. It's encouraged. And so when it talks about building the body of Christ, could that be speaking to numerical growth? Possibly. Okay? And you know what? I want to see numerical growth. Not so that we can say we are a church of number of people. All right? No, because the more people that we can reach with the gospel, the more people that will be in God's kingdom. It's more people to disciple and more people to equip so that they can go out and reach more people so that God will receive the glory. And by the way, when God grows us to a certain amount, I already have two areas that I'm targeting for us to plant churches and take 50 or 60 people from our congregation at that time and say, this is in your backyard. Go reach your community with the gospel. We're planting a church right there. Take ownership in it and serve it. You've been mature to do the work of the ministry. You've edified the body of Christ at Berean. Now go build up another ministry and so fulfill building up the whole body of Christ. We're not about building empires, folks. We're about building God's kingdom. Okay? So, that's the first part. And then look at this in verse 13. Till we all come, and I want to come back and revisit this some more. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. What he's saying is here, in our maturity, we are maturing more both in our knowledge of Christ and in our faith, trusting Christ. Okay? So you see, there's a balance there. When he talks about to all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, he's talking about as a church and individually that there needs to be that we are growing both in our knowledge of Christ. But our knowledge of Christ ought to encourage us to trust him more. And as he shows himself faithful, it will drive us to want to know him more. And there's this upward trend of growth in our maturity as we come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You say, what in the world does that mean? You ever seen a little kid put on his daddy's shoes and walk around in those shoes? Or have you ever heard that phrase? My, you've got some big shoes to fill around here, right? And what is the picture there? Is that that young boy someday will grow up, hopefully not just physically, but in maturity, to be able to take on the responsibilities and roles like his dad is. To be a godly leader of the home and a godly father and a godly witness and a godly servant within the church and within the community and leading his family for Christ. And so the idea is here that we should be growing up into the image of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I want to revisit that some more as well, because for sake of time, I need to just keep moving. And look at this in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Now, most people, when they read that, assume that there would be what? What do you think is the picture? What would you assume? What's the first picture pops in your mind? Tossed to and fro. A storm. Waves, right? Do you see that here? Okay. Think of a lion. And maybe some of you, most of you would not know what a dik-dik is. It's a little deer in Kenya, about this big, that long, maybe weighs, what, 15, 20 pounds? Imagine a lioness catching this dik-dik and then taking it and shaking it, breaking its neck, completely incapacitating it, and then beginning to tear it apart. And have you ever seen a cat play with a mouse? When we were growing up as kids in evangelism, we had a cat. We bugged my parents for us to be able to have a pet. And Dad allowed us to get a little dachshund. We named it Zacchaeus because it had short legs. But Zacchaeus was not happy in the trailer, so we ended up on a farm in Illinois, and we would go and visit Zacchaeus. But we still wanted a pet, you know, fill that void in our childish hearts. And so Dad bought a cat for $5 from a pet store. They were having some sort of sale. And so we got this cat. We named him Panther. And because Mom didn't want everything in the trailer in the house ripped to shreds, she had him declawed in the front claws. But Panther would go after the proverbial church mouse. And so we would go to a church, and we'd let Panther out, and he'd wander around in the fields, and sometimes he'd get into the church or around the church, and he would catch a mouse. And sometimes we would be doing homeschool in our fifth wheel trailer, and we would hear, thump, thump. And we'd wonder the first couple times it happened, what in the world's going on? And so we realized that something was hitting the floor of the trailer. So we go outside, and Panther would have a mouse in its mouth, and it would throw it up against the floor of the trailer. Boom! And it would stun that mouse. And so the mouse was just like, you know. And then when the mouse would shake himself and come to, then Panther would pounce on it and catch it again. And then Panther would just throw it up, bam! And that mouse would just be... And after a while, when Panther got done, what would he do? He would kill the mouse, and he would eat it. Think about Satan as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may what?
Devour.
Do you realize the context of that is written to believers? You know how Satan loves to devour believers? Sink his teeth and claws through false teaching. Through something that's just a little bit off scriptural. And toss them to and fro and get them confused. And, well, this pastor says this, and that preacher says that, and this commentary says this, and this guy says that, and tossing to and fro and kind of coming up with, well, this is just going to kind of, and I'm not talking about an honest, sincere searching of the scriptures with a teachable spirit, led of the Holy Spirit of God, and searching things out diligently, but just kind of doing this consumer mentality shopping for a truth that matches what really in my heart I already want. Or something that kind of tickles my ear. Remember that they are going to heave to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. In other words, they want their ears tickled. They want to hear something new or different or something unique. Something that's cool, spiritually speaking. And Satan will use those things to draw Christians in. And then he grabs them and he doesn't like Panther. He throws them up against the floor of the trailer and he stuns them in their thinking. And they hit the ground and they're incapacitated to make any kind of a right spiritual decision. And then when they shake themselves and come to, he pounces on them again. And he shreds them just a little bit more, and he tears them just a little bit more, and he wears them down just a little bit more. And the Bible says that we don't be tossed about anymore, to and fro. And I know he says here, with every wind of doctrine, think about a tornado or a hurricane. One time I saw a 40-ton bulldozer that was thrown several hundred yards from the construction site. Can you imagine? 40 ton, that wind just picked it up like a toy and tossed several hundred yards. Great power. And in tornadoes and hurricanes, things are torn and thrown around and shredded apart. And that is also part of the picture here that's being shown. And look at this. How, though? By cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It is a purposeful. It's interesting here. And again, I'll visit this more next week. There's actually a term for one who gambles. The idea of tossing to and fro can also refer to the throwing of dice and leaving things to chance. We need to be careful that we are purposeful as a church with the truth. And I'll visit that more. But it is the cunning craftiness whereby these false teachers lie in wait to deceive. Remember what Colossians warns us in Colossians chapter 2, beware lest any man spoil you, make you a spoil of war through philosophy and vain deceit. It is a human instrumentation that is crafty, that is tricky, that draws you in. Man, I want to preach all of this, but we don't have time. We'll come back next week. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. See that? There it is again, that idea of growing up, maturing in Christ, which is the head even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There is one head of the church. It's Christ. We are all part of the body. We need to be in unity so that the body works together. Imagine, and I'll be done in just a minute. Imagine that it's Super Bowl Sunday, and you are here in church on Sunday night. But you have taped or delayed the game, and you go home to watch the game, and you want to go get a snack in the kitchen or something, right? And you don't realize how you've gotten so much into the game. And so you pause it, and you get up, but your foot's gone to sleep. The rest of your body is completely fine, right? But your foot or your leg have gone to sleep. And what happens? I mean, man, you are really hobbling, right? And you're slapping your leg and trying to get the blood to circulate, right? Now, back in the day, before you could pause it, when the commercials came on, you'd run to get your snack in the bathroom and all that and then come back in time. And it was really frustrating if your leg or your foot had gone to sleep because it was hard to move anywhere very quickly. The rest of your body wanted to move, but something was holding you back, right? And so, as a church body, we need everybody working together. But Christ is the head. Just like in the human body, my brain sends messages to the rest of my body. And if my brain is not sending the right messages or getting the right responses, then there are going to be physical problems, right? And there are physical conditions, right, that are like that because there's something not being accurately communicated or the body is not responding to what the brain should be controlling. And that's a problem. And so all of us, because we are to be working together, and God has not made us all the big toe or the pinky finger or the nose or the eyebrow. God's made all of us to be something within that body, and it's all to be fit together. And I believe that God, and I pray all the time, God, bring the people to Berean Baptist Church. Save folks and gift and equip them so that we can be that body that is unified, that is fit, that is together, that is effectual for your service and well-pleasing to you, that you can use. But we must, all of us individually, be responding to Christ, who is the head. So we'll look at this in more detail next week, but just to give you an overview of where we'll be going with growing, okay? And we'll expand on that later on. Let's pray. Before we pray, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to have an invitation tonight, but I just want to have a moment of quiet reflection. And the moment of quiet reflection is this. Are you growing? If you are a baby Christian, it is fine for you to be drinking the sincere milk of the Word. All of us ought to have the voracious appetite of a baby that wants more formula or more milk. But we're not supposed to stay babies. Matter of fact, we'll look at a passage in Hebrews where the author of Hebrews rebukes some of the believers because he says, when you ought to be teachers, you need one to teach you the basic principles of the Scriptures again. And we'll look at that in more detail. But would you just right now just stop and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to reflect on, are you as mature as you should be as a believer at this juncture in your life? What are you doing to contribute towards the unity of the body of Christ? In what other believer are you investing? Who is your gospel project? Are you willing to go through growing pains, maybe through trials this year, knowing that God orchestrates such things for His glory and our good? And if the price of being used of God and doing eternal work is pain, then are we willing to go through that pain to see God do His work? And would you right now just commune with the Lord for a silent moment, and then I'll pray, and then we'll be dismissed with a chorus.